Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. My name is Shane Beeson and you are listening to the Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Welcome. It's so good to have you joining in with us. We are in a series titled Babylon, and we most recently just went through chapter 4 last Sunday, and Pastor Michael brought the message for that day, and we're going to dig into it a little bit more today. But before we get into it, let me introduce to you who is here at the table.
Maria.
I'm Heather Blackstone.
And I'm Michael Erdman.
It's good to have Maria with us. Maria Bilby is our next gen intern, and she's working both with Pastor Heather as well as Pastor Michael in really the cradle to college age range. And so it's good to have her on the podcast today. Thank you for being here.
Welcome.
I'm excited to hear from you and how your brain works and your thoughts. But Pastor Michael, will you give us kind of a rundown, maybe some highlights from Sunday? What's resonated with you post-Sunday? I know sometimes for us there's like these things that we think back about what we talked about and it kind of sticks with you a little bit stronger than other things. I don't know what's on your heart.
I don't know that anything came up past that other than I'm glad God showed up on Sunday. The thing that stood out to me the most when I read this is how the long obedience led to this moment where Nebuchadnezzar ultimately changed his tune in the testimony of what God has done in my life. You know, so many times you hear of these hard things that people go through and they'll blame God or they'll curse God or they'll be woe is me, God. And instead of that, he was turned into essentially a beast. Mm-hmm. And left for 7 years to wander the pastures and the wilderness. And when he came to his senses, instead of doing all those things, he praised God and said, "You are the one who is able to humble. You are the one who gives and takes away," essentially. And the thing that I loved about what Daniel said in the interpretation was, "Your kingdom will be confirmed when you acknowledge God." And so he didn't lose it. Right. That was the crazy thing. He didn't lose it. In those 7 years that he was wandering mindlessly, as soon as he acknowledged God, it was all given back to him. And Nebuchadnezzar writes, in greater glory, greater things were given to him after that. And so it really is a testimony to the things he went through with the four. And even though many times we see him continue to go back to his pride, this last time seems that because of the way God encountered him, he gave up his pride and acknowledged God.
You know, Nebuchadnezzar reminds me of people that I've known. I'm wondering if you guys can relate to this, but I've had people in my life that really struggle, and they are very caught in their vanity. And then they come to points where they glorify God, and you think, like, this is a turnaround. This is the moment. They see God move. They proclaim him as God, and then they don't follow him. And then they see God move again, and they proclaim that God is the living, true God, and then they don't follow him. And what's interesting about this story is, number one, knowing people in my life that were much like this Nebuchadnezzar character in that cycle of challenging God, seeing God, proclaiming God as God, and then not, and back and forth, back and forth. And I hope that so many of us could be that constant. Kind of what you were talking about, Michael, is Daniel's faithfulness throughout his life is ultimately the catalyst that created the opportunity for transformation in Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, I like how you reference chapter 4 is like Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. Mm-hmm. If you were to write a summary testimony of his life, you kind of see it here. And he starts with glorifying God. Number one, he's like, how great are his signs, how mighty his wonders, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation, which most likely is some sort of poem or song written by Daniel, which he's proclaiming before he starts his testimony. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my, and he goes on and on. But I love that these contrasts of Nebuchadnezzar is erratic and unfaithful. Daniel is faithful, and because of their connection to each other, ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar at the end, he repents, mm-hmm. like you're saying, which is there's a huge key there. Repentance is key to our lives and relationship with God completely. But he repents, God heals and restores him, and then he proclaims the glory of God. And I think there's so many relationships and moments in our own lives that we see that. My question is for us, have you known somebody, or maybe you've been that person, where you know you've seen God move, or someone has seen God move, they kind of seem to walk away, they don't follow, they're in need again, and they see God move, they glorify God, and there's this back and forth. Has anybody seen that before? I have, like, immediately there's two guys that I've known where that is the case.
Yeah, I have a few in my life. I actually kind of was that guy too in my own walk, but I think it goes back to the relationship longevity in all things. And so in the good, in the bad, in the fun, in the boring, in all those things, are you continuing that relationship? Because that's how I think we get there. If it's good, you know, okay, well, I saw these guys rescued out of the fire, I acknowledge God, and I continued on my way, just like Nebuchadnezzar in the story. And eventually you start to lose the focus because you're not continuing the relationship with God, with Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. You're not doing this. And so you get back on your focus of you, and you go back down, and you get to that hole again, and you all of a sudden look up. And you say, oh God, you are the one, please, like I said, like, fix this, make it better, help me get through this, whatever. And he shows up because he's faithful. And then you continue to lose that focus. And if you're not intentional in the, it's the, you know, faithful in the small things.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be more intentional in the good times than I do in the bad, because in the bad, it's really easy to focus and say, please help me fix this. And in the good times, it's really easy to lose focus and say, I've got this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. That's what I see in a lot of people that I've dealt with. I don't have.
Well, you see it in Nebuchadnezzar.
You see it in Nebuchadnezzar, like, and I see it in my own life.
Right. Nebuchadnezzar on his high is like, I got this. I'm going to do my thing and fully, you know, just absorb my psychopathic, narcissistic.
Right. Look at what I've built. Look
and
at all my things.
When he's troubled, he runs for help to the spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, what do you think? Like, there's a similar cycle that I see in human nature today.
Yeah. When I read these, you know, the first three chapters of Daniel, it's fascinating to me that, you know, Nebuchadnezzar continues to search for answers for things in his troubles. And, he, you know, seeks out Daniel at some, you know, in the times, because Daniel has the spirit of God in him and gets his answers, and he glorifies God as Daniel's God. He never claims him to be his own God ever until chapter 4, which, you know, and he lived his entire life as this, you know, tyrant, this leader, whatever. And, when he was in the dumps, when he was super troubled, he would never go to God himself. Even after he saw God in the first dream, you know, through Daniel, and proclaimed that God is creator God, but it was Daniel's God, not his own. He never went back to say, like, you know, we never went to God. He went to Daniel, you know?
That's a really good perspective that I didn't really think of. You're totally right. And then in chapter 4, at the end of his life, he declares God as his own God, who he worships, when before that he was like, I worship all these other really demon gods, false gods, idols, who, and you would think he would see they don't have the power to save him. But the reality is I think he thought he was God, which is part of the problem. But then when he loses his mind for 7 years and turns into a beast, I think he realizes,
I'm not as strong as I thought
I'm not
I was.
Who I thought I was. And there's something there. I don't know, Mario, what do you think?
I can say I've had the same experience in my life, where we is kind of in a society, we see that we want our own ways, our own life. And we do, I mean, I myself have always woven through life finding people that are close to God and the Daniels. And
interesting,
for a small period of time, you seek out the Daniels in your life, and then you get caught up with the wrong person and they veer you into a different direction. And so many times I can say that I've been boastful in my life, or we all are, and that Daniel figure has always been there in my life. And it isn't until recently, when I'm learning about like salvation, and when you come to salvation and you go in front and declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God says, okay, now I've done the work. Now it's your turn. And I have to step back and look at my life and all of those circumstances of the Daniel and the Nebuchadnezzar and be like, oh, there's God. There's where his hand was. And so many times I'm like, well, I was a Daniel in this situation, or I was a Nebuchadnezzar in this other situation. So
that's very powerful. And I think one of the challenges we can take from this for our own lives is, and we've been talking about this, like to the youth, for example, who are you being a Daniel to right now? Are you, do you really stand out? Are you really faithful to the Lord in your relationship so that you are this, you become maybe a safe place or a pillar of light in a dark world, because things are going to go bad for people. And it happens to all of us, but you're right in that. And we see this in our own church, right? Like, people don't come to church. They're not connected to the community. And then when something bad happens, they're here. And praise God, they know where to go. They're trying to find it. And this is a challenge for all of us believers and followers of Jesus, is can we be that Daniel where when they come for help, when they seek us out, are we ready to not kind of lean into their way, but truly be light and fully display who God really is to them, so they see the contrast, they see the light. And over time, sometimes it is over time where we ultimately find that final deliverance. You know, people do, they're erratic in their lifestyle sometimes, where it's like, oh yeah, I like that, but I'm not ready to surrender my life yet. Oh, I'm my life brought me to the pit. Now I need a Daniel to kind of show me the light and help me get out. But then they just keep doing that back and forth, and it's exhausting. And I hope that we can't force somebody to surrender to the Lord or to be saved, but we can continually point to the Lord, which is exactly what Daniel did over his time there in Babylon. He just was consistent. And I do want to go back to is gifts of the Holy Spirit. I always want to bring that in, because Daniel had gifts, and it's those gifts that brought him in front of Nebuchadnezzar. And there are similarities in our life when you are a Spirit-filled believer baptized in the Holy Spirit and you've sought the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Many times we say there's two main categories for the gifts. Is number one, it's to reach the lost. Like, the gifts can reveal to the lost who the real living God is. And then it's to edify the believers, meaning each other, to build each other up. But where in your life do you need to be exercising that and not shy back? I think of Paul's letter to Timothy, that whole verse that we often misquote, is God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So actually the context of that is Timothy is timid of using his spiritual gifts to lead his church. And Paul is actually saying, hey, do you remember when I laid hands on you and it was imparted to you spiritual gifts? God, the Spirit of God does not give you fear or timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. What he's actually encouraging Timothy to do is use his gifts to reach those and impact those around him. And so I'm kind of tying two things together. I'm tying the now and the story of Daniel. Is we need to be the Daniel. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we need to know and operate and grow in our gifts so that when those Nebuchadnezzar-type individuals are around us, we actually can bring them to the Lord. We can offer something that's powerful, that is life-changing.
Yeah. I kind of alluded to this on Sunday. I think the main thing that needs to be recognized is you're not given a spirit of fear, but it's still there. And so,
yeah, I would.
You still feel the human emotion that is tied to the flesh, that is tied to the sinful part of who we are, unbecoming. And so,
yeah,
you talk about Daniel. He showed love to this king who murdered all of his friends, who destroyed his hometown, who took him into a culture that was not his culture, who tried to get him to deny his God, who tried all these things, and yet he still showed him love. And it's through that spirit, the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who is in him. But I'm sure there were things going through his mind that were not feeling very good.
Absolutely. So it's interesting you make this comment. I just had a conversation with a friend on the phone, and the Lord gave me this message in that conversation. I said, faith is not the absence of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is actual faith is taking the steps to follow Jesus in the face of fear.
Yep.
That's actually what faith is. And this is what Daniel and the boys did in this time. I guarantee you the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were going to face the fire, I guarantee you there was fear there.
I mean, you can imagine what it, how's this going to feel? This is going to hurt. This is not going to be fun.
I'm losing
my life. Yeah. That's real, but they still stood fast on the promise of God, knowing that he was above all. And so, I like to put that's how my mind works. And these guys were human. They were completely human, relying on God. And so, to be real honest, Sunday it was a huge moment for me to do this because I was definitely not feeling the greatest. And I stepped in and just said, okay, God, I feel inadequate here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to trust you. I know you're here and I know you want to speak. And I'm asking you to speak in this message. And I know that he did. And it felt, I felt like he was there lifting me up in that moment. It wasn't the greatest feeling. And there's many times like that. I don't want to pray for somebody in Walmart. I don't want to tell somebody maybe this isn't the best choice in your life. I don't want to do these things.
Right.
And that's normal.
Well, that's the conflict. You both do and you don't.
Yes.
Because you feel the pull of the Holy Spirit. Like, I need to go do that. And I want to because I love the Lord and I know how powerful that can be. And then that fear comes in of the flesh of like, I have to talk to a stranger and I'm going to pray for them. What are they going to say?
Mm-hmm.
And
what if I do it wrong?
I want to encourage people out there. You said something that's really important for people to know. You felt inadequate on Sunday.
Absolutely.
So can I just tell you, I most often feel inadequate no matter what I'm doing. I've been doing this a while now. I can't tell you how many times I've taught, I've preached, I've all these sort of things, how many people I've prayed for, all these things. And that feeling it doesn't necessarily go away.
Mm.
I face that every week, but what I've learned to do is shut it off and say, it doesn't matter how I feel. My inadequacy doesn't matter. Obedience is what matters.
Yes.
And God will meet me. And I've seen it happen so many times. That's what happened on Sunday. Sunday was incredibly powerful, especially the second service. And it was like, what's funny is we know things, but we still have these feelings. Like, we know that God says, like, his strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Exactly.
Right? But yet, we still feel weak.
And I think that's key in you said, are we exercising these gifts? Are we doing it? And I think a lot of times, and this is me. I know a lot of times it's been, well, when I don't feel that fear, when I don't feel that inadequacy, or when I don't feel that, then I can start exercising the gifts. And that's not how it's going to work. It's I'm going to do it, and that's how you exercise it. In my weakness, I know what God has said, and I'm going to exercise it regardless.
Exactly. Like, I'm doing this, and that's the step of faith. Mm-hmm. That's the leap of faith of going, like, the feeling of fear and anxiety is still there. Am I going to do it anyways? And I know both you ladies have faced that. I mean, maybe let's talk about that for a second, because we were even talking about it before we got in the podcast. Is like, why don't you tell people what it's like for you to jump on the podcast?
Well, I don't like hearing my own voice. And so being on this podcast, the first time I came, like, I had so much anxiety and I was so nervous that my little watch was, my heart rate was in cardio for the entire time. And it's gotten better over time, but I've done this a few more times now, so it's gotten a little easier. I still get a little nervous because mm-hmm. I don't want to sound like a buffoon, you know? So there's always those nerves, but you just got to practice it. You gotta do things that are hard sometimes.
Yeah, Maria, I've seen you jump over some hurdles of faith to do what you're doing.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes in the busy of life, and I can speak to probably the biggest thing that I hear from our youth when we talk is, I'm scared to step out. I'm scared of what people are going to think. I'm scared to be the Daniel because I'm not sure what my friends will think of me. And I can say for myself, I was that same person, and I still am today. There's fears that I have in my life daily, but I have noticed as I step into my calling and step in with these youth that there's this really good feeling, this joyful feeling. And if you continue to seek that out, I feel like that's where God continues to show himself as you take that step of obedience to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, like, there's moments of confidence. Like, I wonder, I don't know what Daniel felt like in these moments, but if we really look at Nebuchadnezzar, it would make sense that every time you were called to Nebuchadnezzar, the king's chambers, that could mean death for you. Mm-hmm. Like they just think of the culture. Mm-hmm. And so, in our modern time right now, it's more like, hey, we might be ridiculed and for standing up for the Lord by someone. But I just think about Daniel and go, what did he really feel like? So when he's asked, even in chapter 4, mm-hmm. as he's asked to interpret this dream of the tree getting chopped down. So this is a really interesting one. So, because all of a sudden, Daniel has to give a not good report. So he now has to tell Nebuchadnezzar, he's like, hey, I wish this wasn't you, mm-hmm. but it is. And your kingdom is going to be chopped off. And all this prosperity, and he's using these imagery of like this tree and the animals are being fed and there's all this fruit
all
and all
life.
This storm.
Like all alive. People.
Yeah. And now he has to tell Nebuchadnezzar, your time is done. And so I just wonder, it was nice in the first dream that we have record where he actually tells so Nebuchadnezzar, you're the golden head. Mm-hmm. That's a good report, right?
Regardless of the fact Regardless that you're going to get destroyed.
You're going to get
still.
Destroyed, but you're a golden head. And now he's like, now you're getting chopped.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what Daniel might have felt in that. We were just talking about fear and how faith isn't the absence of fear, but action in spite of fear. Mm-hmm. And I think it's realistic to say, hey, you're meeting up with the tyrant. He's called you in to interpret a dream. You tell him it's not a good report. You're the one that's getting removed. What's going to happen next? Is it the end of Daniel's life? But here's the cool part is Daniel's like, this is the faithfulness. I'm going to honor God mm-hmm. in spite of the situation.
Yeah, he didn't change the message. He didn't make it sound fluffy and unicorns and rabbits. Here is what's going to happen, and
we need to lean into that because I have been in situations where I've felt my insides mm-hmm. because I have to deliver a hard message, want to get fluffy and sweet and nice.
Yep.
And knowing the conflict in me of going,
this is harsh.
This is a harsh mm-hmm. message, and it has to be a harsh message. If I fluffy it up and make it a warm fuzzy, I will be in disobedience to the Lord.
Right.
And that temptation is there.
Absolutely. And can you imagine the last time he had an experience that we know of written in the scripture is he was going to kill all the wise men.
Yeah.
And so not even the weight of just his own life is on his shoulders. It's this could be everyone's life in the balance right now. You know,
yeah.
It's that's heavy. Mm-hmm. And yet he still was faithful and implored the king, hey, just acknowledge God. Just come to God, and you might not have to do this.
You know, I think about grace and repentance in that, because I look at what we know from the story, and God gave Nebuchadnezzar multiple moments to see who he is and to repent. God, his life could have been ended. Nebuchadnezzar's life could have been ended, but he had one last chance, mm-hmm. and he was driven out into the wilderness with the mind of a beast, and he called upon God, and God saved him. And I think about my own life, but what I'm thinking about is God's grace in revealing himself over and over and over again to get somebody's attention before it's too late. And I know I've seen that in my own life. I've seen it in other people's lives where it's like, man, are you paying attention yet?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. Your life has been saved multiple times. That doesn't happen for everybody.
Yep.
And if it's time to repent, it's time to seek the Lord, because the next time that you walk out of that smashed car or whatever, it might be the last opportunity. And the next time you might not get that opportunity.
Right.
And it's like, man, people pay attention when God's trying to speak. It's only by his grace, but sometimes he allows people to see and to live after multiple times of their lives being saved or whatever. And he's calling out.
And, to all. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it continuously throughout the scripture, going back in history. Pharaoh had the same opportunity. He had the same opportunity 12, 13 times.
Yep.
And absolutely. But he went a different route.
Yeah.
You know, and continued to resist God. I don't know. It's the heart of God has never changed, and he's always doing this. And he does this today. I don't know how many times that I shouldn't have made it through something.
Yes.
And
same.
I just kind of attributed it to I got lucky, or I can keep doing what I'm doing because I made it through this one, so I'll make it through the next one. Like, nothing can touch me. And eventually, I think all of us will reach the point where you make the choice one way or another, and that's going to be it.
Yeah.
That sets the path that you're going to go down. And just like a good father, and I said this on Sunday as well, a good father will eventually know when his efforts will no longer be received.
Right.
No longer be, effective.
Right. When the person's heart has actually rejected.
Right.
And only God knows that.
Right.
And that's a scary thought. And you don't want that for people. And that's the cool part is God doesn't want that either,
right.
Which is why he keeps intervening, trying to reveal himself to people.
It shows the purpose. It really is your purpose. Like, if you really stand back and look, it shows the purpose that he has for you in your life. Like,
yeah.
He had purpose for Daniel, because if Daniel never happened, then other stories wouldn't happen. And that's what I've been learning is throughout this, God is trying to show you the purpose he has for you. Even in the hardest moments when you felt like he wasn't there, there was purpose when it...
Yeah, I think about that even in the scripture. So just the fact, when I look at Nebuchadnezzar, I'm like, yeah, you were rich and famous and whatever, you thought you were God, but but you're dead just like everybody else, number mm-hmm. one. And you turn to God at the end, but look at his very life and this very story. We're talking about it today, thousands of years later, and we're gleaning wisdom from it today. So it's not without, you were just talking about purpose. It's not without purpose. Even Nebuchadnezzar's life, because of Daniel, we are reading about today, and it's speaking to us today.
So I want to press into that, because that's exactly why we're going through this series and focusing on the Babylon era and comparing it to today and the purpose. our purpose is to be Daniel, essentially, to be a light in the darkness to those who are around us. And a lot of times, I see it so many times, our purpose needs to be some kind of title or calling or stage or whatever. And right. Daniel didn't really have any of this. He was just obedient to God, and he was given opportunities to be a light to this one man. He was only one of the, essentially one that was chosen to have the Spirit of God in him in this time. Mm-hmm. Yet now we all are given the Spirit of
absolutely.
God. And our purpose is the same
right.
in a dark world. And so if we, imagine how many people would be influenced if we stood up and were just obedient in every situation, which I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we're going to be perfect every time, but imagine the impact that our world would see if every Christian were understanding the purpose is simply obedience to God, not a stage, not a Billy Graham platform, not a microphone or anything. It's simply, who is the one person that I need to show the light of God to that can be influenced to also receive the Spirit of God through salvation so that we can continue this? And this darkness that we continue to see overwhelm everything would be pushed back.
Yep. I want to go back to our taglines, because we developed really the series in a sentence was that Daniel lived in Babylon, but Babylon didn't live in Daniel, meaning it didn't have his head in his heart. He happened to be there. He was stuck there during this exile, but he chose to honor God in his head and heart and in his body, regardless of what was around him. We modernized that in saying that's what it's like to be in the world, but not of the world. Things right. that Paul and Jesus talked about that we learned from Scripture. And really, that's it. It's like, can we live set apart in the midst of everything? And we're going to be going into this in the series. We keep talking about it, but friends, we are Babylon.
Yes.
If you look at a dollar bill, if you look at media, if you look at all these things, the way we do government, the way we do education, all these things, we have this crazy merge of Babylon and Persia and Rome, and all this stuff is still, our culture is steeped in it.
Yeah.
And, we've actually gotten a little quite desensitized to what's really around us. We think it's all fine and dandy when it's really not. And but
I would say the only, we keep standing on this, we're a Christian culture. We're not, because the light is getting dim. The Christian culture is us. We have to be the culture, because otherwise it doesn't just happen. And that is being Daniel in your you, wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you're a janitor at a mini mart or a CEO of a bank.
Right.
The purpose is all the same.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes us a Christian culture.
Every area, every culture, microclimate, so to speak, your job, your home, wherever, you can be a Daniel. Mm-hmm. You can be set apart in that. That's the point of this whole series. I think we'll wrap up here and just say, hey, be in the world, not of the world. Yeah.
Amen.
Heather, pray for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we've had together to discuss your business. Be with our listeners today. Bless them. Give them the strength and the courage to be that Daniel, and with us as well as we continue. Continue our journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.